Hello friends, the new topic, the novel of terror. Introduction. Broadly speaking, the first half of the 18th century was a period of realism and didacticism in literature. The two new genres created in this period, the periodical essay and the novel, are particularly steeped in the realistic and didactic spirit. The note of realism in fiction, which started with Daniel Defoe, continued even in the second half of the century. It was carried forward by Richardson, Fielding, Somlet, and Sterne. The novel, as along, was essentially concerned with life and society as they were, and often with the exploration of the ways and the means to make them better. In addition to didacticism and realism, a note of sentimentalism can also be disconcerted in later fiction under the influence of Richardson. But sentimentalism was only a secondary characteristic. The primary and the essential characteristic of the novel, from Defoe to Fanny Burney, are realism and didacticism. But after Fanny Burney, and even some time before here, the English novel seems to have grown out of the groups of conventional realism and didacticism. The last years of the 18th century was often dubbed as the age of transition. Transition from the neoclassicism of the school of Pope and the romanticism of the early 19th century. In these years, we find a shift of emphasis in the novel too. Horace Walpole, Castle of Otranto, 1765, was the first work of fiction which broke away completely from the tradition of the realistic and didactic and often sentimental novel and started the virtue of the what is called the Gothic romance, the novel of terror, or the novel of the terror. Walpole and his followers created in their novels a blood-curdling and hair-raising world of the haunted castle, air, ruin, macabre ghost, harrowing spectacle of murder, and a hundred other elements calculated to strike terror in the reader and to make him perspire all the over. Mostly, the terror novelists were crude sensationalists whose works were merely a schoolboy exercise devoid of any artistry. Most of them transported themselves to medieval Europe, supposedly full of the spirit of chivalry, romance, and mystery. As most of them turned to the Middle Ages for their material, they are called Gothic novelists. Some of them, William Beckford, however, looked to the Orient for their material. Very few of these novelists shows any appreciable knowledge of human psychology, perhaps because no such knowledge was at all required for the kind of work they were up to. Most of them turned to the supernatural to add to the atmosphere, to awe and terror. All this goes to show that the terror novelists were the nature of crude and thrill-hungry romantics who came before the true effervescence of the romanticism in the early years of 19th century. But some of them, like Horace Walpole, were in fact hard-boiled intellectuals who indulged in Gothic romance as an escape from the oppressive boredom of the world of reality. Their medievalism was thus a mode of escape. For the two romantics like Coleridge and Keats, the hazy and romance bathed Europe of the Middle Age was a real world. They lived and breathed in it. They did not escape into it, as they were always were. But the terror novelists like Walpole or dilettante and pseudo medievalist who did not believe a word of all that they wrote. Their world was a make-believe world created just to kill a few idle hours which happened to be free from any intellectual activity. After these preliminary remarks, let us consider individually the work of the more important of the terror novelist, Horace Walpole, 1717-97. Horace Walpole was the pioneer of the Gothic novel in England. Just a Percy with the Reliques and Macpherson with the Ossianic poem heralded the romantic movement in the English poetry. Horace Walpole with the novel of the Castle of Otranto, 1764, heralded the romantic movement in English fiction. He reacted against the realism, didacticism, and sentimentalism of the followers of Richardson and Fielding. He did not think highly of even Richardson and Fielding themselves. After reading the fourth volume of Richardson's novel, Sir Charles Grandison, he set it aside, saying, "I was so tired to sit off people getting together and saying, 'Pray, miss, with whom are you in love?'" His desire was to shake and shock much nimini, primini, sentimentalism, and to give a story altogether chilling and thrilling. He said goodbye to his own age and chose for the sense of his novel Italy of the 12th of the 13th century, full of the spirit of mystery, supernaturalism, and crime. It is of interest to note that he was something of an antiquarian, very much interested in the art of the Middle Ages, particularly Gothic architecture. Ifer Evans, in A Short History of English Literature, observed in noted comma, "Walpole carried out the medieval cult more completely than most of his contemporaries, and at Strawberry Hill he constructed a Gothic house where he could dream himself back into the day of chivalry and the monastic life." Noted comma closed. Horace Walpole was the son of Sir Robert Walpole, the famous Prime Minister of England. He was a witness of the boredom of higher political life, and his medievalism was perhaps an escape from his oppressive boredom. The Castle of Otranto was the first published in 1764 and was given out to be the English translation of the and old Italian manuscript in the second edition. However, Walpole admitted that it was all his own work. The event narrated are supposed to belong to Italy of the 12th or 13th century. The scene of action is the castle situated at Otranto. Manfred, the villain hero, is the grandson of the usurper of the kingdom. The intent marrying his son to the beautiful Isabella, but the day of marriage, his son is mysteriously killed, and he himself decided to marry Isabella after divorcing his wife. But Isabella escaped with Theodore, a young peasant. Manfred decided to kill Absalom, but mistakenly kill his own daughter, who loves Theodore, and is at that instance accompanying him. The castle is thrown down by the spirit of the true ruler, who had been killed by Manfred's grandfather, Theodore. Theodore is revealed to be the son of that ruler. He married Isabella and established himself as the ruler of the realm in place of Manfred. The story is puerile and in the extreme. Its Gothicism and supernaturalism are also crude and unconvincing. Even the most naive reader will fail to believe such event as the walking of a picture coming out of three drops of blood from the nose of a statue, and the descent of a huge helmet apparently from nowhere, not to speak of the account of ghost and mysterious fulfillment of the prophecy. Walpole's supernaturalism is not at all psychologically convincing, like Coleridge, for example, for Shakespeare. It is strange to find Walpole comparing himself to Shakespeare in his use of the supernatural. He wrote, The great master of nature, Shakespeare, was the model I copied. If anyone observe about his claim in inverted comma, it is as if all the poetry and the character had been removed from Shakespeare Macbeth, only to leave the raw mechanism of melodrama and supernatural. Inverted comma closed. What in reality Walpole sincerely tried to copy from Shakespeare was mixing the tragic and comic element by punctuating the every somber narrative and instance of the knavish and domestic servant. But Walpole does not succeed here either. As George Sherburne points out, Walpole draws the domestic servants so feebly that they fail almost totally in comic power. Walpole's medievalism is also sham. He never shows any real knowledge of the times or places which the handle in the story. As a historical novel of Castle of Otranto is thus worthless, his medieval escape, as George Sherburne puts, has simply provided a no man land where a startling, thrilling, sensational happening might be frequent. Everything, however incredible, passes muster in a gothic setting. No explanation of the supernatural incident is considered desirable by the Walpole at all, the none of afford. The Castle of Otranto became, in spite of all its absurdities, quite popular and was imitated by a large number of writers, including Clara Riva and Anne Radcliffe. Walpole, with his own example, set the tradition of Gothic romance, which was obliged to him for numerous conventions. According to Moody and Lovett, these conventional elements are, first, a hero sold by unmentionable crimes. Second, several persecuted heroines. Third, a castle with secret passages and haunted rooms. Fourth, a plentiful sprinkling and supernatural terror. Mr. Anne Radcliffe, 1764-1823. Though Mr. Radcliffe was an imitator of Walpole, at her attempts at the Gothic romance were much more successful and artistic than Walpole. She was, in fact, the oldest and the best of all practitioner of this kind of writing. She was the loving wife of a journalist and wrote 5 romances just to while away her leisure. The most famous among them are The Mysteries of Udolpho, 1764, and The Italian, 1797. The scene and both of them is the mysterious land of Italy. In the former Italy of the 16th century and in the latter that of the 18th. Mrs. Radcliffe almost always wrote to a formula. A beautiful young woman is kept imprisoned by a hardened, sadistic villain in a lonely castle, and it's ultimately rescued by a somewhat colorless hero. These heroes or heroines are all modeled after the same pattern. The only variety the heroine admits of is of their complexion. Otherwise, all the sentimental and incompetent Ricketts' words are true sister of Clarissa. Both the emotional expression and the moral incapability add to all that the usual paraphernalia of terror element. She observed Louis I. Bradwold avail herself to the fullest of Lethem Dungeon's secret vaults and corridors, all essential features of the castle of Gothic romance. Let us consider the main point of her work, in most of which she differ from Walpole. First, she is quite timid in her use of supernatural. Just before the end of a novel, she tries to explain away all the supernatural incident as misunderstood version of quite natural phenomena. She works very well through subtle suggestion, especially through the description of eerie sounds. B. She introduced in her novel of element of scenic description, which was altogether neglected by Walpole. She is perhaps the first of English novelists in her interest in the scenery for its own sake. She never visited countries she dealt with in her novels, but her description are divided entirely credible. See, her grasp of real history is as poor as Walpole. On the very first page of The Mysteries of Udolpho, she expressly tells us that the incidents of the strong belong to the year 1584. However, this year could easily be substituted by another without any difference. D. In her novel, she reconciles didacticism and sentimentalism with romance, whereas Walpole an entirely Frascan and realistic didactic sentimental tradition and 18th century novel. The topic over.